Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at another individual that God used in the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord. He was a wonderful man of God. Kind of appears somewhat out of obscurity. His name is Simeon. Starting in verse 22, follow along with me as I read, and then we'll bow together for prayer after this scripture reading. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him, Jesus, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we ask you to bless our time as we would desire to deepen our understanding of the wonder of the birth of Christ. We've read these passages so many times. We are somewhat familiar with them, but we know that the Spirit of God, who enlightens us, who teaches us, surely has more to reveal to our needy souls. And Lord, for each and every one of us that is hungry to know more, would you please make that our portion this morning? Would you give us new light, new understanding, new blessings from this passage of this man, Simeon? And we will thank you, Lord, for we will leave this place of worship rejoicing that we've heard something that it just resonates with us and is very sweet to our souls. And oh, how we need sweetness in such a bitter world that we live in. So meet with us today in your power, in your blessing, through your grace, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So this morning we look at the words ascribed to Simeon, his words of testimonial. We really don't know any details about Simeon, about his family life, where he lived, or even what he did. We don't know if he was rich or poor, but what we do know is what we read in verse 25, these four things. He was a just man. That means he was righteous. The second thing it tells us, he was a devout man. And that means he was totally committed. He was a believer in God. He was totally committed. The third thing that we see is that he was waiting patiently for the promises of God. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And if we understand our Bibles right, we know that the Old Testament passages of Scripture that were all pointing to the coming of the Messiah, that was their hope. And that's what the word consolation means. It was a hope that they had that this Messiah, this Christ, was going to come to be their God and Savior. And he was patiently waiting for the promises God had made to fulfill. He was a man who believed what God said in his word. He was a man of the word of God. And then the last thing it tells us, the Holy Ghost was upon him. That is, he was working on him. Now, you know, just briefly, I'll tell you, this was the Old Testament ministry of the Holy Spirit. He was upon people. When we come to Pentecost, the Spirit of God came down and he indwells believers. But up to this point, the Spirit of God was upon them. He led them. He helped them write scriptures. He gave them guidance. He illuminated them. He did all those things. But he would come and he would go, not necessarily a permanent indwelling like we have in the New Testament times. But the Holy Ghost was working in him. This is a thorough description of a person of true faith in the living God of heaven and earth. In other words, these things that are revealed to us about Simeon, we know that he was close to God and God was close to him. And we find out that he was God's sentinel to point out Christ when he came. He was the watchman, you might say. He was there. He was a man of old age who had been longing and waiting for the Messiah. And how grateful he must have been that in this revelation of the Christ child. This solemn assurance that the Messiah was here. And you know, here he was. He kind of appears. Some would say it's a coincidence that he happened to walk in the temple at that time. But it was no coincidence. The Lord had them, that was a divine appointment. It was a meeting. And perhaps we don't know what his job was. You know, we don't know much about him. But he may have asked Mary and Joseph, "Can I hold your child?" And he took the child up in his arms and he blessed them, blessed the child. He blessed God. But it's something to see what the scripture tells us there about Simeon. I like the words of this one author, John Gill. He says, "The same spirit that had revealed unto him that he should not die until he saw the Messiah with his bodily eyes, and who by a secret impulse had moved him to go to the temple just at this time, made known unto him that that child, which Joseph and Mary then brought into the temple to present to the Lord, was in fact the awaited Messiah." It's wonder. It's a wonder, is it not? It's this whole birth of Christ is just full of miracles. And we see them unfolding in our text before us. Matthew Henry said, "The same spirit that provided for the support of Simeon's hope was the same spirit that provided his great joy at that moment when he held the Christ child in his arms." And notice in verse 28, it says, "He took him up in his arms and he blessed him. And he blessed him. And the idea of blessing him is he praised God and gave glory to him for his great goodness, for sending the Messiah, this long-awaited and wished-for Savior, for the grace and favor that he showed to Simeon, indulging him with the sight of the Lord's Christ, and for his truth and faithfulness in making good his promise. And God always keeps his word. He's faithful to his promises. Aren't we glad for that? We know that he's a God that cannot lie. And that there were those, remember, that were scoffers and mockers. Where is his coming? Where is the sign of his coming? When is he coming? And many of the Jews were that way. They felt that way about the Messiah coming the first time, let alone the second time. But here there's a remnant of people that are waiting, looking for, anxiously waiting for the coming of this one. And then you notice he also said in verse 25 that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That is, until this divine historical event took place. So this sentinel was given special revelation that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. That is, until this event took place. This expression, to see death was a common phrase among the Hebrews, expressing death itself. He would not see death. He would not die until this event. The psalmist said in Psalm 89:48, he said, What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? In other words, we all will see death, right? By the way, it's good for us to remember that fact. And it's good for all of us to remember that, young and old alike. We never know. And you know, as it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto men once to die. It's appointed. All men have an appointment. It's an appointment with death. And guess what? As much as we might like to, we can't miss it. As much as we might like to, we cannot reschedule it. We cannot ignore it. We cannot swap it with someone else. This it's inevitable that they're all going to die. And here Simeon spoke of the child being that one that he was waiting for, and now he could die, and he could die in peace, knowing that he saw the Christ child. Simeon spoke of the child as being God's salvation in verses 29 through 30. Look what he says. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He was prepared before the face of all people. This revelation is now given to every man. Man need not taste death for himself, if by faith he looks to the eye of Christ, through the eye of faith in believing that Christ has come. We don't have to taste of death. That's the wonder, the promise of the gospel. Not only for Simeon could he now die in peace, but it was also true of all who would put their faith in Jesus Christ, that we can die in peace as well. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So many people are afraid to die. All their lifetime subject to that last enemy of death. And if you find yourself afraid to die, you must ask yourself the question, have I seen like Simeon saw? Have I seen like the multitudes have seen? That Jesus Christ made these promises. He came fulfilling his promises exactly the way he said he would in prophecy. He's fulfilled all of his promises that he's made to his people over the years, including to save them from their sin and relieve them of their guilt and to give them eternal life. And that we have this assurance that we get, know that we don't deserve it, but he saves us because I've trusted in Christ. And so we have this blessed assurance that is given to us that the world is such in need of. We know we have assurance, not based on how we feel, but based on the facts of the Word of God. And God is a God that cannot lie. And we are a people that believe his word. We are a people that come to the Holy Scriptures and know that this book supersedes all other books that were ever created. And this book was written by the Spirit of God as if penned by God himself. We have this book. It's been preserved for us. And in this book, Simeon knew of the promises of God. And in this book, we know of the assurance of salvation if we put our trust in the Christ that was being promoted in these early stages of Christianity and the revelation that was given to Simeon and to Zechariah, as we saw last week, and to Anna, as we will see tonight. These revelations, these songs that these people were able to sing are being told that are just furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just proving to us the miraculous birth of Christ and what he is able to do to all that put their trust in him. And notice he says that. He says in verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. All people. You might say, well, who's that? Well, look at verse 32, the next verse. A light to lighten the Gentiles. This world is shrouded in darkness. This world is, like Paul said in the 2 Timothy epistle, is getting worse and worse. Doesn't it seem that way? But it also tells us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The world is in darkness. It lies in darkness. But Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world, and he that believes in me and he that walks in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is coming. He's come to give us light and life. In Romans chapter 1, it says this, that telling about the darkness of the world, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It's talking about humanity that turned its back on God, that turned its back on the promises of God. But in the birth of Christ's story in Matthew and in Luke, we have a remnant of people that did not turn their back on God. They were looking for God. They were looking for the promise fulfilled. And Simeon tells us that he was coming. He was going to be a light to the Gentiles. And then Simeon added in verse 32, and the glory of thy people Israel. This one is both light and glory. He's light to the Gentiles who are in absolute darkness and paganism and heathenism. And he's also the glory of his people Israel. And if you carry on this reading of Luke's gospel, you will see that is exactly what Jesus did as he lived out his life. He was a light to the Gentiles, and he was the glory shown forth to the people Israel. People think that he came to go to the people that were doing their best, but he doesn't. He goes to the people who have done the worst. Isn't that something? He came to save sinners, Paul said. He came to bring light and then to deal with man's greatest problem. And what is man's greatest problem anyway? Whether they are religious or irreligious, good or bad, what is man's greatest problem? It's his sin. That's right. It's our sin. As the angel promised, this child would be good news of great joy for all people. There is no one who does not need Jesus to offer them salvation. There is no one. Everyone is in great need. And thanks be to God, Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, whether they be Gentiles or Jews. And he saves all who come to him. And this message is for all. And we thank God for that. No one does not need this offer. And so this man, Simeon, is now content to die. He's willing to bid farewell to this world. And the truth of God is fully confirmed in him. And he has this assurance that he speaks of in the text. He says, according to thy word. Oh, according to thy word. I remember Mary said that too when she found out she was going to be the vessel that would bear the Christ child through virgin birth. Be it unto me according to thy word, Mary said. And this is an expression that means, Lord, we are certainly fully committed to your word, and whatever you say, thy word is most important. They were totally submitted to God's doing and his will in their personal lives. And then speaking of Mary, the virgin mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, Simeon had something else to reveal to her. Look at verse 34. Look what he says to Mary. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, and here it is, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. My guess is that Mary never forgot those words. There was going to be a sad part that was connected, a sadness, a tragic part, humanly speaking, of this child. He was set for the fall and rising of many. Those that believed in him would rise, and those that did not believe in him would fall. We know the difference between heaven and hell. We know the Bible speaks of both. Both are true. Both are assured. But especially as Mary was by John's side watching her son, Jesus Christ, her son, being crucified. And Jesus on that cross was plumbing the depths, and he was naked and he was vulnerable and he was being mocked, and Mary had to see and hear all of that. I'm sure the words of Simeon that he spoke to her about the sword that would pierce through her own soul rang true to her. Here he was, bearing the sins of all people, that he was prepared before the face for all people. When he was on that cross, the sun could no longer shine for 3 hours. You remember that. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. But thanks be to God that he has been mindful of sinful man. Yes, people like us. This is the very reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came. We can rejoice in all of the miraculous things and the wonders that take place. But these words that he spoke to Mary right there in the temple to Mary about this one was going to also break her heart to see what was going to happen to him. And it was all in God's eternal plan to save sinners, to save us. This is why Jesus was born. And I'd like to ask you this morning, have you received him as your Savior? Are you like Simeon was? Are you devout? Are you righteous? Are you hopeful? Are you walking in the Spirit like Simeon was, like Zacharias was, like Mary, like Anna, those who had songs to sing in the birth of Jesus Christ? Are we anticipating like that? Are we living by faith like that? This world remains in darkness without the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is light and glory. I'd like to read something to you that was written about 40, at least 40 or maybe 50 years ago. The United States of America has had great light because of the gospel. We have a godly heritage. But America, let us be frank about it, is rejecting the light and has been for some time. Christmas is increasingly secular. I noticed that even in carols. If they have the gospel in them, they are being eliminated from public life. Instead, there are the superficial, supercilious jingles of our time. What our world is trying to do is gain an aura of religiosity and good feelings at the Christmas season while eliminating Christ. This is darkness, paganism, idolatry. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light necessary to enlighten souls. He was then and he is now. And so we read these words of Simeon, this man that was used of God to hurl forth, to add to the power of the gospel that would go into all the world, that would enlighten people, that would be the vehicle that God would use to save people like you and me. Blessed be God for his glorious message for the birth of Jesus Christ and for the words of Simeon this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you how these stories evoke many images to us, and we hear these words that have been eternally recorded for us. And Father, we thank you that thy word is truth. And we thank you, Lord, that we know that to be true. And we pray that you will cause a strong emphasis of rejoicing and humility at the same time in our hearts as we consider the birth of Jesus Christ and put him first in our lives. We ask and pray this, that we might exalt him, not just in this worship service, but with our lives in the world day by day. As we live out being living epistles of Jesus Christ, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Andrew.